Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's edition of Raising Expectations. And it's our prayer that we'll raise your expectations, and we think we will tonight. We're excited to be with you because you have chosen time to be with us, and we take that as a real blessing. As we always say when we begin our program, I'm Joe Schofield, and I have the privilege and pleasure of working with some of the most wonderful guys on this team and ladies that you could ever know. And I like to share them with you each week quickly because people always ask. This week I made a note, 11 people asked about this great team. I want to start with Dr. Paul Hall, who is a retired pastor and theologian and teacher and writer and a guy that's loved by countless people here on the West Coast, Texas, and in Illinois, and probably other places we don't know about. But in any event, Paul Hall's been my friend 50 years and highly respected. Paul, we're so glad you're part of this team, and we love and appreciate you, brother. We also want to introduce you, if you haven't met him yet, to Commander Rob and Nancy Hansen. And Rob is a very special guy. He was a Top Gun pilot, protected our nation. He flew an F-14 Tomcat. He has it parked in his garage today in case we ever need it. But it's a big plane. But he also is a man who loves God, loves this country, loves his beautiful wife, and cares about all of you. He brings forth to this program great insight and great knowledge. Graduate of Annapolis and a wonderful guy. You're going to love knowing Rob, and you're going to love meeting his wife. Nancy's a great gal. She's from New York, and they both live in Arizona. So it's great to know Nancy. Nancy, Rob could probably do just about anything we need on a program. She takes care of this and that and the other. She could take care of all kinds of things. And but most of all, she takes care of Rob. And that's the greatest call right there.
And the biggest problem.
And the biggest problem.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. She does a great job at it. Excellent job. We also have Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. And we'll be able to tell you about this tonight because they put it up on social media. But Craig and Stephanie have moved from California to the state of Georgia. And he will be a trauma surgeon there in Georgia, just like he was head of the department at his hospital here near Sacramento. And they've been on the road, left early. And at the same time, we've got Stephanie. Stephanie is on the road right now, but they're checking in, and she will be tuning in any minute. So she'll be back with us tonight. Don't worry. They're looking forward very much to hearing our guest tonight. So this is the great team that God's given us. Tonight, as you know, we always try to bring very, very special people that can talk to you from all different aspects of life, but mainly can help us in things that encourage and strengthen us. And Rachel Ehrenfeld is the director of the American Center for Democracy and Economic Warfare. Oh, my goodness, does that cover a variety of things we need to hear about. Rob's going to fill you in on some of that. And we just count it a pleasure, everything from free speech to cyber warfare that we're doing right now. Huh, Rob, with Columbia Oil Line and everything else? Who done it? So I tell you, it's everywhere going on right now. But Rachel, on behalf of everybody, we're so glad that you're with us tonight. We count it a blessing and a privilege. We want everybody to know that you'd be with us on Raising Expectations. And guys and gals, let's pitch this to Rob. Rob, if you'd go ahead now, Nancy, and share about her and kind of give us some questions, and let's have a great evening. Thanks, Rob.
Well, thanks, Dr. Joe. I have to tell you, Dr. Rachel's one of the most impressive people that I've ever met in my life. You'd mentioned, she's the director of the American Center for Democracy and the Economic Warfare Institute. She is actually I think, one of the greatest experts on terrorism and terror financing, economic warfare, and narco-terrorism in the world. She's an authority on, and her books will show this, on the sort of shadowy movement of funds through international banking systems and governments to fund the terrorist movements. And that's really scary. Also, Dr. Ehrenfeld has testified before Congress. The European Parliament has advised the Department of Defense, Department of Homeland Security, I think some three-letter agencies that we can't discuss here. But I think one of the most important things is that she's currently focusing on the economic warfare against the U.S. and the West, cyber and space and energy warfare. She's always been an advocate of freedom of speech. She knows more about the Middle East than I could ever hope to. She's also tracking China and Russia. She's also involved with non-traditional warfare and disinformation. So she's very, very broadly involved with a lot of things that the media never covers and doesn't talk about. Now, her books, and I have all three of them, and I've read all three of them. Her first book was called Evil Money. This is a book that actually talks about how the money that goes to nefarious groups
That was the second book. The first one is narco-terrorism.
Oh, okay.
Well, I thought that was your most recent book, Rachel.
No, narco-terrorism was the first, money was the second, and funding evil was the last one.
All right, okay. Then. Well, we'll start over here. Narco-terrorism, which she has done an incredible job of tracking the money that goes between governments, between banking organizations, international finance areas, and the money that goes into terrorism, that includes things like drugs and the profits that go between the origins of the drugs, wherever they come from, and the terrorist groups and how they get funded.
Nice.
Now, okay, Evil Money. I could have sworn I had this right, Rachel. I'm so sorry. Evil Money
That's okay. I mean, all of them deal with funding movements, terrorist organizations against the United States and its allies and the West. So you can sum them up. Different
yeah,
stages.
And I think one of the things, Rachel, that I think people need to know is that one of the major threats to our society has to do with the drug trade, and we see a lot of that happening at the southern border, especially in Arizona, and the terrorist exploitation of banking and financial institutions, because a lot of people that are lured by easy money. And then, of course,
drug funding is the biggest business in the world. So, I mean, seems to be. It generates more money than any other commodity, although it's not traded on the New York Exchange yet, but the revenues in many companies that build themselves up because of drug money are trading there. So, it sponsors ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, you name it, North Korea.
Wow.
And again, these days,
the cannabis legalization of drugs is funding helping to raise funds for many people that don't want to see America strong.
Yeah. And the money, again, I mean, and I guess funding evil, Dr. Rachel, basically draws the roadmap of how terrorist organizations are funded. And you have done an incredible job of tracking things down between, you know, the nation states, the governments, the corruption, the illegal drug trade, and organized crime and the connections they have with terrorists. And we see a lot of that, but it never seems to get reported in the United States. And I think that's one of the things that needs to be discussed a lot more in the U.S. and is never covered. And because you have written such incredible books, you know, I have to ask, well, you know, since you wrote the books, has anything really changed in terms of the way the money flows from, you know, the governments and the private organizations to the terrorist groups?
Well, there is more of it. That's what changed. The volume is bigger.
Yeah. So there's more money going to them now.
It's truly incredible because the fact that the United States has really done nothing to stop, or hardly anything to stop drug trafficking, which is biological, I mean, it's a chemical warfare against the United States and has been going on for decades. How many people died from overdoses in the United States? How many families were torn apart because of drug addiction? How many lives have been destroyed? How does it affect our economy? Road accidents, all kind of accidents in factories. I mean, this cost and the health care and people who went to prison because of that. I mean, this is really... it's a huge, huge warfare in the United States, and unfortunately, because it generates so much money, it seems that nobody has really taken it seriously. There are all kind of laws against money laundering, and so the banks are asking for higher rates from people who are using the banks. In order to handle the bureaucracy, but they really don't. I mean, if you are a small, a small drug dealer with not too many millions of dollars, they may catch you if you've done something. But if you are really big, or if it is a state that is doing it, you can probably you are actually free to do what you want. It is also funding the illegal immigration. It is funding terrorist organizations, arms trafficking, people trafficking, everything illegal. And they work in cahoot with each other. So this should have been really eliminated. And when the United States, they are negotiating with the Taliban, the president now wants to leave Afghanistan, which is the number one producer of heroin in the world. And since the United States forces and the coalition forces took over Afghanistan after 9/11, instead of really eliminating and destroying the drug production, the heroin growth, and the heroin production and opium production in Afghanistan, they allowed it to flourish and to grow. I don't understand why. You could see often pictures of American soldiers walking in heroin in opium poppy fields. The opium poppies have different colors, beautiful. And you saw them walking in those fields and not destroying them. This is really, it's mind-boggling why this didn't happen.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why I thought it'd be great to have you on, because maybe you know something we don't know about that very point, like why isn't the opium being destroyed? And again, we always fall back on the basic premise of follow the money. And a lot of your books are talking about the connections between the cartels, the drugs, the banks, the governments, and how that's all interconnected. And it seems very complicated, even though, well, it's not really, but
no, nobody. It's not. Well, it's not. It's complicated when it gets, it's complicated because so many people are benefiting from it.
That's
so many
right.
entities are benefiting from it. And when you talk about big money, then it's dangerous. Then there are too many interests that you don't want to upset. So you let it go. It is truly, well, with Afghanistan, the reasoning was that, well, they didn't want to, because this was a major source of income for the Afghans, they didn't want to destroy this. Really? I mean, so they can go and poison the rest of the world because they don't want to grow peaches and potatoes and whatever other things. This is really this was the reasoning, because the poor people, the poor peasants are benefiting from it. Really?
Right.
Well, they should have given them something else to benefit from.
Well, that's a good point, Rachel. We wonder, you know, of those in charge in Afghanistan, and we probably don't really know who's in charge in Afghanistan. Gee, very similar to how I feel about who's in charge in the U.S. But, you know, the decisions that are made at the high levels seem to suggest in Afghanistan that the continuing growth of the poppies that create the opium and later on the heroin want to be continued and perpetuated instead of growing, you know, potatoes and lemons and food.
Hundreds of years. Hey, Rob, we introduce Stephanie is here. It's great to see Stephanie. She's speaking. Stephanie, there you are.
And, hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Rachel, this is Stephanie, and we talked about her. She's a health and wellness coach nationally and well-known for making everybody know how to be healthy and also how to trust in God. She's a wonderful lady. She and her husband is a trauma surgeon. So she's here, and she's looking forward with us to hearing. Yeah, Rob, go ahead. That's great. Just thought you wanted to know Stephanie was there.
Oh, go, Steph. Steph, do you have any questions?
You know, Rachel, thank you so much for being a guest tonight. I'm wondering, what do you think would be some good steps that we might be able to make to combat what's going on?
What's going on about what? In what area?
Well, I mean, we're talking about all this dirty money, right? And how it's not, the government's not really doing anything about it. Do you see any way to make that change?
Well, if Americans will stop using drugs, then the drug traffickers will have less money. The banks will have less money to launder. Terrorists will receive less money. Now, how to convince Americans to stop using drugs? It's a complicated issue. Nancy Reagan, actually, the Reagan administration, tried and actually was successful. The big campaign explaining to people, showing those television ads, here is your a fried egg, here is your brain on drugs, was actually effective. But that's it. It ended with that. Everybody laughed on what Nancy Reagan tried to do, and successfully did. And the administration, and it has been abandoned, and actually with Obama and since Obama actually came in, and even before, that's when the marijuana legalization movement really took on. And the Obama administration didn't really, the DOJ did started to, and they had instructions from the prosecutors, the DAs had instructions from Washington not to prosecute drug users, the drug cases. So that's when the movement took off. And it has been, and that was a big, that was a very big, very big effort, and a lot of money went into the whole drug legalization movement, which originated with George Soros.
Interesting.
So changing it is really telling Americans, explaining to Americans that, you know, there are so many people that have family members, friends, that have been affected by illegal drug use.
Mm-hmm.
And now pushing so-called medical marijuana on them is really terrible. And so really having education, more education, exposing more people to the dangers of using medical marijuana. There are many studies and there are many videos showing how, and research, medical research, scientific research, showing how use of marijuana affects the brain, affects your, affects people's judgment, affects your thinking, affects your ability to develop, how terrible it is for the development of children, for pregnant women to use it, for workers. I mean, there is so much evidence on what kind of physical, not only mental, mental and psychological harm is being caused by so-called medical marijuana. It's all, should be overwhelming, but it's not being shown. Instead, we see states after state legalizing this stuff in order to get more revenues. To me, this is just incredible.
Yeah, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yes. Rachel, this is Nancy, and this is what I was going to respond to that, because, yeah, all these states all over now are, it's not just medical marijuana, it's recreational marijuana. Even New York State now is doing this for revenue, of course. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so it's like, it's just not good for the country. It's not good for our kids. It's not good for anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a whole nother set of laws now. Are you under the influence of alcohol or drugs or marijuana? You know, I don't know. It's, we're just going to go on a handbasket.
Yeah, and you have schools in the middle school and high school levels especially, and even in the elementary schools where, you know, the kids are taking marijuana, and this is not helping them intellectually. It's not helping their brains. It's numbing them to some degree, and it's making them not want to work hard to achieve things. And that bothers me from a cultural standpoint. But even more so, you know, we have the cartels down in Mexico, and there's several, and they fight among each other, but they all get money through the drug trade. And the biggest drug trade in the world is in the U.S. And so whether it's the Afghanistan poppy fields or the Turkish poppy fields or the Mexican and Central and South American drugs that come creeping up through the southern border, which is now sadly more open than it used to be in the previous 4 years, you see sort of a continued intentional destruction of Americans who unfortunately use more drugs and don't understand the consequences of it from a civilizational standpoint.
And we're bad enough as it is without drugs, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, beer is a problem.
No, I mean politics.
Yeah, well, politics, you know, there you go.
But it also is a terrible boon to our homeless problem in America, the homeless situation.
Yeah. Well, sure.
It's happening right now. I mean, I read somewhere over the 90 percentile of those people, and I've met many of them, we've dealt with them, are all dealing or all under the horrible influence of drugs. They're never going to get out of this, so they will continue to go down and down and down.
Another needle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's exactly right.
It's a huge, I think it's a huge problem that is causing a lot of homelessness, the breakup of families, and it's not only turning, it's really physically destroying the brain. So it is affecting other parts of the body, heart, lungs. And it's not only smoking it, and where if we talk about marijuana, they are now using it in food. They are selling all kinds of food products which are laced with marijuana, with THC, tetrahydrocannabinol. So this is really wrong. Marijuana, by the way, is a fantastic plant, and there are so many medications that have been developed from investigating and for synthesizing and developing the cannabinoids. They are fantastic medications for glaucoma, for epilepsy, for against pain. There are all kinds of things, but they have been developed in the lab, and what they are selling you here is they take the weed, they say, oh, find it. There is no, I mean, this is, and the marijuana that they are using, the tetrahydrocannabinol, the THC components, the percentage is very high. So wonderful. You have many happy and kind of disoriented people walking around everywhere.
That's
how
right.
does it affect the work? And the administration is supporting it, and many states are supporting it, unfortunately. It should be completely illegal, and there should be a big campaign to stop this.
That's right.
You won't hear any arguments from me, Rachel.
Exactly right. All of us, we're with you.
Rachel.
Paul, you got any questions?
You know, I do. Rachel, this is Paul, and I surely thank you for being on the program tonight. I read two or three of the articles that you'd written, and I found them really fascinating. And one of the things that comes to mind, let me dovetail a little bit on what you had to say. I live in the town of Lompoc, California. Population is about 45 to 50,000. Now we have about 12 or 14 dispensaries that have already opened, with about 10 more on the docket to open.
Oh God!
Reports are the city's praising the income, you know, it's coming from the taxes, etc. Closer to me, the people that live right behind me just completed their plastic greenhouse and put their lights in, so they're growing pot behind me. You know, neighbors.
This is very upsetting to hear.
but it's true, and it's happening. And we in Lompoc, California, Lompoc is getting to be very well known for, the dispensary capital of North Santa Barbara County. I mean, people are coming from all over to buy it. And it prompts a question, because some of the articles that I read that you'd written and I found fascinating. Sometimes it appears to me that we get so overwhelmed emotionally that we get sort of numb to the whole situation. And when we become numb to it, there's almost a sense in which we throw up our hands and say, you know what, we can't do anything. I mean, they win. Why don't we just declare it and move on from there? I think the answers that we look for sometimes are certainly dictated by how we frame the question. Mm-hmm. And if I were to just ask you, Rachel, what are the right questions that we should be asking? What are the right questions that we should be asking that would prompt us towards some beneficial answers?
That's a very good question. You should actually ask whoever represents you in the locality that you live, in Congress, and ask why there is a complete disregard to the scientific. I'm not talking about Dr. Fauci. even if you go to the National Institute of Drugs and you look at their information, you will still see. I mean, last time I looked at it was probably earlier this year. I don't know whether it changed now, whether it was canceled, But the information that was on was how destructive marijuana use is to the human body.
Mm-hmm.
And it is still classified as a dangerous drug. So I know there are some proposals in Congress to remove it from the listing. But it is a dangerous drug. So I think that asking questions why everybody is disregarding it, why it is allowed. So what if it is making money? So fraud and bank robbery should be also made legal now. I know in New York prostitution and misdemeanor crimes are and drug use is now legal. But people who are arrested for violent crime are let go because there is no more bail. So I think we are moving towards a complete chaos. But you should ask your representatives, you should demand an answer why this is being disregarded. Here is evidence. And I mean, it's not difficult to find the evidence. If people Google it, I think it's still on YouTube. You can still get the information. Give it to your representative and say why this is being imposed on the rest of the population. This is harmful to America.
Well, it is, Rachel, and thanks for bringing that up. I know that you're an expert on how the money flows. I don't know if you're able to describe the Mexican cartels who obviously profit both from drugs and human trafficking and have certain, I guess, politicians in their pocket. Well, we know in Mexico, but we suspect also in the U.S., who allow all this to happen. And
everywhere.
And
money talks, and more money talks louder.
Mm-hmm.
You have, of course, politicians are in their pockets. In Mexico, it's either you cave into the drug cartels or you die.
That's right.
So, and there has been many people were murdered. mayors of cities, prosecutors,
police chiefs,
reporters who try to report on it.
Yep.
It has really completely taken over Mexico. And Latin American countries, we know Colombia, Ecuador, in Bolivia, where cocaine growth had been actually legalized years ago, and it was done with the approval of the State Department.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't even try to stop it. There are ways, actually. There is a pathogen that has been developed. Particularly to targeting coca bushes or opium poppies or even marijuana bushes. And they can eliminate, they can really destroy them. They can reduce the effectiveness of the drug content in them and without harming the soil, without harming the environment, without harming the people. It was developed during the Clinton administration by law from Clinton. It was developed, the government had invested a lot of money in developing it, and micro herbicides, and they has never been used because it would be apparently to the idea of the politicians, to the politicians' mind, too costly, and therefore they are not implementing it. In the meantime, it is killing Americans and killing many people around the world.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, Rachel, I'd like to back up for a moment and find out how you grew up in Israel and also how you got interested in what you've been writing about for the last 30 years. Is that a reasonable question?
It's a reasonable question. I grew up in Israel, and, you know, Israel, which is being now bombarded, still bombarded by rockets from Gaza, from Hamas.
Yeah. I know.
I grew up in a country that has been attacked many, many times by Palestinian terrorist countries and terrorist organizations. And so I was aware of the issue of terrorism. When I first came to the United States and I saw how people are using drugs in this country, I kind of looked around and I said, well, nobody is standing with the gun to their head and forcing them to use it. Why are they using this?
Mm-hmm.
So I saw how important is the peer pressure on taking drugs. And I was really, I didn't understand it, and I understand it better now, because peer pressure, and many Americans are not, have not been raised to withstand peer pressure when it is for, to do things that they know is not good for them, or it is illegal. So education is really the essence, lack of it. So I started looking at that. I was invited here actually first to do research, to profile actually populations in prisons, and so I looked. It was not political; it was more from the scientific point of view. And I saw that most people who were imprisoned or in forensic psychiatric units in the United States were using drugs. So I said, well, okay, that's interesting. So that led me to think about, well, and looking around and seeing the society at large using so much drugs, and I said, well, who is interested? There must be somebody who's benefiting from me. So who is interested in bringing all these drugs to the United States, in flooding this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall that I knew that the Palestinian, the PLO, has been raising money, and Hezbollah, from drugs. And Syria have been actually, they had big fights, the Palestinians and the PLO and Syria. That's when the PLO was thrown out of Lebanon, because of the control of the drug-growing areas. I said, okay, so they are far from here, but who is interested in doing it here? So I looked to South America, and it didn't take me very Cuba, and I started looking, and I saw, okay, so here is the cooperation. I started doing research, and I found out about it. So that's when I wrote, actually, narco-terrorism, showing the connection of drugs and terrorism, how the drug business is funding terrorism.
And that's what I think a lot of people don't even have a clue about, where, you know, there are cartels, there are drug, there are drug distributionists and everything, and all this money go, and there's a ton of it, obviously, goes through things like banks, pays off government officials, unfortunately, including the United States, whether it's at the state, local, or federal level, or maybe all of the above. And all that money ends up going into the hands of people that want to destroy us.
Yeah, right. Look, it also goes to the hands of people, for example, who try, you know, like the mafia has been working, they try to move to so-called legitimate businesses.
Right.
So they get involved with construction, selling all kind of things, opening stores or store chains, whatever. So if I have a store, I sell shoes. And a drug trafficker or somebody who has drug money is opening a store next to me, and selling cheaper shoes, I mean cheaper quality, and not, even if nobody goes to his store, he can still claim that he's been making a lot of money, and I cannot compete with him for funding my legitimate store, so that kind of takes out the competition, right? So
that's
it's
right.
affecting the economy, too.
That's right. And then there's the laundering issue of the money.
Getting into business, for example, is a good way to launder money. So there are requirements to report on cash. Now, there are requirements, and you shouldn't get, if you are a supplier for a construction company, or if you are involved in the diamond or jewelry business or selling clothes or whatever, you shouldn't be getting, and should report, and you should be suspicious of large amounts of cash, or if you're a car dealer, okay, of large amounts of cash that are being, that somebody pays you to get your product. But that is not really being monitored, although it's known that this is being done. And so that's one way to do it on a small scale. There are many banks that work with, in the United States and internationally that launder money for, let's say, Iran. Iran is under sanctions. It's not only they have a lot of drug money, but they have also a lot of terrorism money. So, and the United States had, and the rest of the world still have sanctions against them, but they can still move money. How do they do it? They do it through the banks. They do it through exchanges. They do it through all kind of import-export companies. There is every way and any way to do it, what they want to do. So we need really to stop, if we talk about drugs, because it's such a huge source of illegal money. We should do everything to reduce the consumption. And therefore, I know it sounds like pie in the sky, but if you reduce the source that generates this kind of money, you can starve them, and the money will dry up, right?
Oh yeah. Now, again, backing up a little bit, Dr. Rachel, and by the way, thank you so much for coming on. I'd like to talk about a little bit about what's been going on between Hamas and Israel over the last few days. I know that there was some discussion in the media about some Palestinians who were renting apartments and they couldn't pay their rent, and this was all COVID related. And then on Friday,
they couldn't. They did not want to pay the rent.
They refused
to pay the rent,
and
the buildings were dilapidated, and they don't take care of them, though they live there. So the Israeli landlords wanted their property back.
Sure.
It reached the Supreme Court. Now, the Supreme Court has not decided yet, and the Hamas and the Palestinians and Abbas, instead of waiting for the decision of the Supreme Court, and the United States intervened, actually, and demanding that Israel will stop, and they started rioting, okay? So now the United States and many other countries are demanding that Israel will stop responding to, 200 rockets from Gaza? Everything is being paralyzed. Houses are being damaged. So far, thank God, I don't think anybody was killed. But that's a miracle.
Pioneer Dome working for you.
Yeah, Pioneer Dome, yeah.
Pardon?
Oh, the Iron Dome, Rachel.
The Iron Dome, yes, but the Iron Dome is also very expensive. So they were not able really to shut all of them down. And that's every, right. every, I think every rocket with the Iron Dome is about $1 million. So it goes very fast. But it's, in the meantime, and in the meantime, the Palestinians also in Jerusalem, they are rioting, they are using fire bombs, they are stabbing Israelis. I mean, this is, you know, they, and they, this was an order. This was a decision to do it now. It's the end of Ramadan, and it's, there is a new administration, and the administration actually gave money to the Palestinians, which the Trump administration stopped because they are funding, they are taking the money to pay for Palestinian terrorists who are imprisoned in Israel and their families. So that's they pay for terrorism. But now the Biden administration decided to give them money. Even Arab states that joined Israel with the Abraham Accord, which is which was really an incredible achievement, are now being solicited by the U.S. Department of State against Israel.
Why I was only a foreign service officer for 5 years, Rachel. I wasn't a good fit there.
My goodness, we've got 3 minutes, folks. 4 minutes, maybe one more question. Looking at the time, boy, Rachel, this is exciting.
I got a quick question for Rachel. Rachel, you know, we've heard so much bad things about President Donald Trump. Do you think he was anti-Semitic?
Oh, not at all.
Not at all.
Quite the opposite. And what we see today and what we have seen from the left is using really Orwellian language. So everything they say and everything they accuse everybody else is the opposite, and they do it. So, no, the Democrat Party, many members of the Democrat Party are openly anti-Semitic and anti-Israeli. President Trump has actually been a good friend of Israel and the Christians. He really supported the Judeo-Christian values and traditions. And these people know, these people are for Marxism and for power. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
and we know, Rachel, that, and again, those of us who are Christians know that Israel is God's chosen people. And that's where our heritage comes from. And that's why we support and love you guys. That's why we are very, very disappointed in the current administration, which has clearly done a 180 against the previous administration, who used to support Israel, and now we have Obama 3.0, I think we call it, where we're now apologists for everything that's wrong in the world is our fault, and oh, by the way, we don't like Israel anymore, or something.
Well, this administration is, in my opinion, this administration is anti-American, not only anti-Israeli.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's very upsetting, but I think that each one of us should speak up and speak out and reach to whoever is representing you, because if many people will reach out to their representatives and they know that this is how they can be reelected, they eventually will listen.
Hey, Rachel, could we have you on again sometime? Because there's so much more to talk about, and we've sort of just scratched the surface.
I'd be glad to.
Oh, thank you. And, you know, again, we don't have to worry about Zoom or video or anything. The phone thing works just fine, and we respect your privacy.
Thank you very much, and I think that you are doing an important job in trying to get to reach people with your messages.
Well, and that's what we're trying to do, Rachel. We have a worldwide audience, believe it or not, and we are trying to get the truth out. And because the media that we have in the U.S. doesn't seem to care much about that. And so our job, I think, is to try to enlighten people and get them to understand what's really happening in the real world we live in.
Yeah, that would be information, bringing accurate information and educating people is the number one task that we have, and we should do it any way we can.
Absolutely. Oh, and Rachel, can I tell them that we met and I went to New York City and I got you a dozen yellow roses and we went to a Billy Cobham concert at the Iridium about 20 years ago. Is that okay to mention?
Well, now that you ask, yes.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure that I had your permission to mention that because you're one of the most brilliant. I mean, your IQ is at least double what mine is, and you are just a complete sweetheart, a brilliant lady, a class act, and a great patriot. And we are so thankful to have you in the United States and speaking out against things that are wrong and evil.
And thank you. Thank you very much. And God bless you.
Yeah, well, God bless stay you on too. What you're doing. Keep what you're doing because we're going to catch up to you because things will turn around. You know, the Bible says, blessed are those who bless the nation of Israel. And all you have to do is go there and study as Dr. Paul, myself, and all of us at one time or another, and realize how loving the Jewish people are and who they are and what they stand for. And just like you and Rob just said a minute, the Judeo-Christian ethic, our nation's founded on that. And we've been praying for you. We will continue to lift you up in prayer and just keep going full blast, like he said. And I'm going to ask Rob if he will get back to you and maybe set a time that we can have you back again sooner than later because there are many questions we would like to ask.
Thank you very much. I would be glad to accommodate it. I'm writing a book right now, but I will make some time.
Well, that's what I want to talk about, Rachel, is what your next book is about. Well, we'll save that for the next show, okay?
But thank you, Rachel. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you
so
much.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you're listening tonight, you could see just how special this lady is. And as Rob said, well, I tell you, she knows so many things that will continue to enlighten us, but things that we just don't know. That's why it's more important than ever to keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your heart in the Word of God and make sure that you talk to Him each and every day because God knows what's going on. And there are no panic in heaven, only plans. And if you want to follow the nation of Israel through time and see God's presence, and you'll follow our nation, just stay close and keep pushing back with what's right. We've got about 2 minutes to go here. I want to remind you that if you go to our website, there is a button there that says donate. Not that God just gave me that message to give you, but that I didn't want to forget. So it is on there. And that's, if you just go to bbsradio.com/raisingexpectation, I want you all to know that we've got 1 minute. We're going to be doing some things. You're going to be hearing from the people. We're going to do some special commercials. So thank you, those that have been supporting and helping us. You're a real blessing to each and every one of us, and it means an awful lot. So you'll be hearing from the people. We're going to do some kind of unique new things where you'll get to hear special little spots from everybody. Again, Stephanie, we're glad you're safe. Be safe traveling. You and Doc, we're praying for you. Keep you safe. All right, Paul, take care. And on behalf of everybody, hey, God bless you all. Right, folks? We love you.
See you next week.
Again, Rachel.
Thank you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556 or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.